Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The Raiders is a team that we don't care for.
Something. Lori Lattimore of Oakland, Jess Place, and Tim Lynch.
Yes, my master.
Get involved in the conversation at milehighreport.com. Incomplete.
You are listening to Something Something Broncos. I am Jess Place, joined by Lori Lattimore Volkman and Tim Lynch. Today we're brought to you by a lovely rhyme. Lovely to look at, nice to hold. If there's a penalty, it's likely bowls.
Awesome.
Yes. Touchdown right there.
We might as well just end the show now. That was too good.
I wrote that just now. That was my contribution to the show. I'm going to go ahead and log off here. You guys can take... You guys can take over from there. The 49ers game just took place a couple days ago, and it seems like the overriding message from the game was kind of frustration with Garrett Bowles. We're not too pleased with his growth as a player. The novelty appears to be wearing off. Tim, do you have any thoughts on Garrett or the 49ers game?
People are saying it's not his fault. It was the tight end's fault. You know, they just didn't block enough for him to get him in position. But no, really, I think he's just been technique-wise, you hear whispers from camp, he's just not getting the technique down in game situations, and it's putting him in a bad position. And for whatever reason, instead of letting the guy beat him and get a sack, which is probably just as bad, he just tackles him or, you know, holds on for dear life.
Piggyback.
It's what you're free. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and bring up a topic I want to talk about later. But since we're talking about Bowles, why not just trade him to Washington for Trent Williams? You know, the first round pick, just throw in an extra pick. Let's just move on. So you don't have to get to year five and say, yeah, we're not going to do the fifth year option. We're just going to admit it ain't going to work out. Just get the Band-Aid off now. Let's go. Come on, Elway.
Is it more that you want
Trent Williams?
Trent Williams, thank you. I was like, Bowles, Trent Bowles. No, that's not his name. That's not his name. It's Trent Williams. Is it that you want him, or is it that the Redskins are kind of like the life serial, like, they'll trade with anybody?
I mean, they're in a bad spot. So Trent Williams is a talented left tackle. You know, Garrett Bowles
is not.
Well. You're the assuming Redskins, that the Redskins are going to trade for Garrett Bowles.
I mean, they're dumb. So
we could sell them on the fifth year option. Like, you could have this terrible, terrible player for another year. You have the option.
No. It's how you phrase it. It's how you phrase it, Jeff.
You have this player with growth potential.
You have this former first round pick, Garrett Bowles,
and they're like,
on a fifth year
option. We have a former first round pick who hates us.
And even trade. Hell, they might even just take him straight up. Maybe. Do it. Just at least call.
You'll have to give him something. The Patriots reportedly just offered a first round pick for Williams, and the Redskins won't take that.
Oh, crap. Well, Bowles is a first round pick.
Yeah, we'll take the Patriots first rounder for Bowles.
There we go. Let's do that.
Look at, we can that connect might, the dots just as well as anybody.
There you
out
go,
there.
Tim. That's your new post.
That might actually mean they're looking for a starting left tackle to trade for. It could mean they're looking for a player and a pick, which might actually put the Broncos in a good situation. I'd trade Bowles in a third rounder for Trent Williams. Why not? They get a first round pick in Garrett Bowles and a third round pick. It's worth picking up the damn phone, Elway. Let's go.
Well, he can do that now. He had hand surgery. Everybody was freaking out on social media. They're like, oh no, Elway's going on the Today Show. He's got some medical issue. And it's not a real medical. He's not dying. Like
they were freaking out because of freaking Mike Liss, who can't
tell you what,
tweet
that guy should
anything.
Be fired so damn fast. That was the worst.
I didn't watch the video yet. I could almost put money down without even knowing the truth that he was not asked about Drew Locke's hand injury.
The Today Show probably doesn't know about Drew Locke. They're not a sports show. They've had this plan to talk to Elway about his condition because he's getting behind a cause. You know, it's something he's had for, what, 15 years, and it's a kind of degenerative thing that happens over time, and it typically happens to men. And so it has nothing to do with football necessarily. And Mike Kliss tries to be coy and like he's some big sleuth, and then he throws in a joke about Drew Locke. I mean, it was pathetic.
It's John freaking Elway. You know, you hear John Elway mystery diagnosis, and you're like, people are, oh my God.
Right. And then we had an hour of all these Broncos beat reporters
clawing over each other for the scoop. And then Les Shapiro comes out on top and like sanity prevails. I really wish I hadn't ordered the bouquet of flowers to be delivered before we found out what happened.
Get well soon.
Well, it was sympathies. I assumed it was terminal. I didn't know. Yeah, so you knew that it wasn't going to be anything terribly serious because it's the Today Show. Like Elway's gonna break like news sitting next to Al Roker. Like, give me a break.
Exactly. Getting back to Bowles and Trent Williams.
Oh yeah.
Or just Bowles. Yeah. I find the comment from Fangio interesting because all these fans are and pundits are trying to blame it on the tight end because Fangio blamed it on the tight end.
What Fangio doesn't understand is Broncos fans have 2 years of tape and we're seeing the same thing he's done for 2 years. I'm not going to say the tight end is to blame for all 347 holds Garrett Bowles has had in the last 2 years. Okay?
In the last game.
Right.
Yeah. We have a history with Bowles, Mr. Fangio. Just when he came in as head coach, he said he wasn't going to watch the tape. He wanted a fresh perspective on each player. I'm like, well, you probably should have watched the tape on Garrett Bowles. Hmm.
It's also interesting, though, because Fangio's been so big on technique and fundamentals. And so he's, you know, and he has said the reason they play with the tight shirts so that guys can't hold because they're holding because of a lack of ability, a lack of talent, a lack of technique. So it is, I don't know, I find it interesting that he would defend Bowles.
It's just remarkable that Garrett can get those little tiny fingers on those defenders and just grab them and hold them, even though they're wearing the tight jerseys. He's got those little stubby little fingers and he digs right in.
Most of his holds are, he hugs them and pulls them down. He doesn't have to use his hands.
It's not really a clandestine operation, is it? It's pretty. He's just like, check this out. Watch this. Like, yeah. Climbing up on their back and like.
You usually know the play is screwed when you're watching the quarterback, whoever it may be, is back to throw, and in the corner of your eye, you're like, "Ah, oh, shit, Bowles is holding again."
And it's always a completion. It's like a touchdown. It's like like in the 49ers game, it was like a 45-yard completion to Emmanuel Sanders. Oh, sorry. Like, welcome back, E. Garrett just like pooped all over your debut. Thanks, Garrett. Yep.
It's usually a third down two. So now you're in like third and 42, and it's like, okay, just punt the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, it is refreshing though not to have like a Vance Joseph like draw play to follow up the Garrett Bowles holding call, because usually that was what we would do. It'd be like third and long, and be like, we're just gonna run it up the middle for a loss of three.
Can you blame him? After two holds in a row, just run the ball. Let's get this over with. Bowles, come sit down.
You need to get like a squirt bottle, like you do with cats, like when they're up on the counter, just like
little shock
no
bracelet or something.
No.
Every time he goes to hold somebody, it shocks him, so he pulls his arms back.
Yeah, no, I think I'm all for shocking the shit out of Garrett Bowles.
If we see this throughout the year, he's got to be done in terms of having a starting job.
There's no fifth year for him. That's already that ship has sailed. Like, he's not going to suddenly be good, like, or serviceable. Like, there's no way.
He's got two seasons, basically. He's got to really improve this year. But that 45-yard penalty, yeah, the tight end should have put a better chip on the defensive end. But, I mean, if you look at his positioning coming out of his stance, he was already losing. It didn't matter if he chipped him or not. He just wasn't set up well. And it's just like, you see Juwan James and his technique – it just seems so much more advanced from what, you know, I'm getting from Jeff Essery and Joe Rolls, who are film gurus at Mile High Report. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, patience is thin with all fans though, with Garrett Bowles. He's got to stop screwing the big plays.
He's this year's Ronnie Hillman. It's like every year there's like a player that the fans are Isaiah like, "We've McKenzie. Had it. We've had it with you." Yeah. It's there's always one. The fans love to hate one guy until they run him out of town, and it looks like Garrett's going to be that guy this year.
You know, we've been talking about Mike Munchak and how he's really good at developing O linemen, and I think it's fair to say that if he's unable to make Garrett change. And he's got a track record of being able to help a lot of offensive linemen get better. Then it's really on Garrett Bowles. He's either incapable or unwilling. And that would be a good reason to let him go.
Or both.
Agree.
Or both.
Yeah. Is there anything else from the 49er game other than Garrett Bowles totally sucked? Can we talk really quick about Jimmy G getting shut down, I believe 1 for 6 for 0 yards and an interception. Like, that's encouraging.
Yeah, let's talk about whether I should trade for Joe Flacco as my backup QB or Jimmy Garoppolo in fantasy football.
Oh, yeah.
Flacco all the way.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
Lori missed the draft this week. Mm-hmm.
Because somebody didn't tell me when the draft was.
Oh, no. you were told.
How was I told?
There was posts in the...
Like a month ago. Chat. Even Scotty seemed surprised. And Scotty's all over fantasy football. Mm. So
you can always just log into the page and check it.
Right? I missed last year. Oh my
God, I've got way too much going on for that.
It is imperative you don't miss the draft.
Yeah, well, great. Antonio Brown better be good.
Hey, I did lead the league in points last year, though, so there is precedence for missing the draft and doing really well.
Sometimes it works for you.
Well, I have good news. I will be profiling fantasy football every Wednesday in a post. So I'll be covering
Little Lebowski Urban Achiever League.
Yes, it is the elite of all elite leagues that I've ever been a part of.
It is going on 17 years old. It is a keeper league with 14 teams and two keepers per team. And
no bench slots.
Yeah, there's four bench slots for the entire league. So you can't just like stash your players and like not play people. Like if you have people on bye, you have a very thin margin. Otherwise, you got to keep turning those players over. So it keeps it interesting.
I'll be doing that every Wednesday, profiling my challenges of succeeding in this league. I've won it one time in what is it? I'm closing in on 10 years.
I've won it one time in 17 years. So
exactly.
I got second last year, though. That was pretty good.
I would like you to profile the fact that I inherited your cousin's
Yeah.
He might be the worst fantasy football player ever.
Hi, Tim's cousin. I hate you.
So, Lori's been in the league now 4 years and has yet to recover.
And then I got Antonio Brown.
Well, it could work out. Once his feet heal.
if he decides he wants to play football.
Yeah. You know.
Yes. So I'll profile that that adventure, and then also I'll do some daily fantasy football. So yeah, so that'll be fun. But we do have an upcoming game. Just 5 days after the 49ers game, we've got the Rams, and then 5 days after that, we got the Cardinals. So two games coming up. Andrew Mason just tweeted out that the Broncos, Kevin Hogan will start on Saturday, so no Drew Lock, and then most of the starters will not actually play. So that's probably going to play out in both games.
I can handicap both games right now. You ready? A lot of people who aren't going to make the team are going to play. Going to be unwatchable football for two games, and then the season will start, and it'll be great.
The biggest thing I'm looking for was a quote from Chris Harris Jr. about special teams play. If you're looking at this game with any kind of interest, it's which guys are going to make the team because of special teams play. Chris Harris Jr. referenced his rookie year, that's how he made a name for himself and got a roster spot and then eventually got a chance to start. And I think back to Terrell Davis in 95 in Tokyo, got noticed. Chance, it's an opportunity for these players to make an eye-opening play, to get people's attention, and get an opportunity. And that's really what these two games are about. It's going to be boring to watch because, as Jess said, these are all guys that are going to get cut and they're not going to be big factors in the regular season.
The thing is, though, it's not like it's a bunch of no-name players. It's actually guys we've been listening to during training camp. It's guys who are wide receiver 5 and 6 and 7 who are trying to make the team, or running back 4 and 5, or linebacker 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, it's guys like Nick Williams and Kelvin McKnight and Kafani Muhammad, Alexander Johnson, who actually, because of injuries, is probably going to be linebacker 2. They're trying to be one of the depth players, but they're not going to be able to make a case to be a depth player if they can't play special teams. And that's what Chris Harris Jr. was saying. That's what Terrell Davis would tell you, because they actually got noticed because they made great plays on special teams, and that allowed them to be on the team and work their way into the lineup.
But you never know. There's probably going to be one guy out there that we don't know yet that's going to make a play and eventually
Moral Stevens.
Well, it's not maybe so fun for the fans, but it's actually super helpful for the coaches. And the coaches need to see who can stand out, particularly on special teams. So I don't think fans will enjoy the games as much, but I think it'll be much more helpful for the coaches to have those guys in there.
Well, and special teams, like Tim was saying, they are a concern. If they need to plug and play and move guys around to try to figure out the best combination of, you know, no names that are going to contribute on special teams, and yet go for it. Like that would be great. Offensively, it's going to be the Kevin Hogan, Mark Rippon show, and no one wants to see that, like, at all. And so let's just get through these next two games. It's going to be fine. Regular season will start. We're going to destroy the Raiders in Oakland, and it's going to be great.
And there you go.
Tim, are you drinking in the afternoon?
Yeah. I grabbed a Sapporo.
Oh.
And it's not the afternoon, it's 11 a.m.
It's date morning drinking. Nice.
Very good. You know what? I'd like to have a drink during our podcast, and we're doing it really early today. So
I would get in deep trouble if my wife came home and saw that I was drinking during the day. But you're moving. Yeah, I get it. Here, I'm just going to hold this beer from last night that still has a little in here.
just in solidarity.
For this beer from last night.
Where are your Bloody Marys?
Or this beer from last night. Cool. Oh, or this beer from the other night. I don't think this is... I need to get hit the recycling bin, is really what I'm trying to say. Well, that was hilarious, Tim. Now, a word from our sponsor.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, well, all right. So, day drinking, we've covered that. What else?
Did he say about the offensive line? Are we going to do backups for that or keep the starters in?
He said most starters. I'm hoping Garrett Bowles is starting because he needs to keep working at it. I'm thinking it's going to be the star players, the important starters, you know, Von Miller's, Bradley Chubb, Chris Harris Jr., Emmanuel Sanders, Joe Flacco, you know, all the big time starters, veterans, they will absolutely not be playing. But I would suspect a few starters will be mixed in.
Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton, you think we'll see them?
Probably the maybe not running Cortland. Backs.
Maybe a series. I could see a series.
Maybe.
We should probably not put our tight ends in there because we don't have any more to lose.
Yeah. That's insulting to Morrell Stevens.
Well, they have to play because we only have like two that are healthy right now. So, because Noah Fant's not going to be playing for sure. He's nursing that ankle injury. So maybe Jeff Heuerman gets a few snaps. Troy Fumagalli will be playing a lot. And then the new guy in this first game.
Orson Charles is the new
team. Orson Charles. He probably won't play much in the Rams game because he just got here. It's going to be heavy Troy Fumagalli. It sounds like Jake Butt might actually play this weekend. So stay tuned on that front.
Mm. How many series before he gets hurt?
I don't know. Pre-game, maybe? Yeah.
Should we measure it in series or plays? It's like I'm feeling kind of negative about the next two games. I'm just irritated, I guess. I expect more.
23-17, that's my score.
Who wins? Oh, yeah, always Broncos. He told us that last time.
Always the Broncos.
How about you, Jess?
I'm going to say 35 to 10 Broncos lose because this is the third game for the Rams, and they're going to be playing their great players, and we're going to be playing scrubs. And
I don't think they are. Rams announced yesterday that they're not playing their starters.
Holy crap, you're right. He said, you know what? Yeah, we're not going to play.
Can we do a skills challenge instead?
Yeah.
That's a great idea, Jess.
Yeah. Like, you know, give people a reason to watch.
Since the Rams aren't playing their starters, I'm going to go with 45-3 Broncos.
Yes, you guys. The Broncos don't score like that. You have not been watching this team.
They will.
Every week.
Kevin Hogan
44
is going to go ham.
35-10.
And then Brett Rippon's going to come out, who, by the way, scored a touchdown on his drive that he got in the Hall of Fame game. So he's going to come out and just everybody's going to go, oh my God, it's the second coming of Kyle Sloter. Everything is going to change.
Kyle Sloter.
No, it's not an episode of Something Something Broncos unless Lori gets to talk about Kyle Sloter.
That's right. I'm going on record. Someday he'll come into a game on some NFL team. He'll be like Kubiak. He'll be amazing. He'll score touchdowns. He'll win the game, and everybody will wish they had drafted him.
And he will go to Winnipeg to play in the Canadian Football League, where he will become a legend and win almost the Grey Cup.
I love you.
Let's go ahead and give him the Grey Cup now.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, fine. I didn't know that the Rams weren't. I thought I was going to be like suave with my prediction. Broncos 9, Rams 17. Yeah, because we have difficulty with the scoring in the red zone with the touchdown. So we'll get there and then kick 3 field goals.
It's going to be 12-6. Like. In the fourth quarter, and then this final score.
It's just gonna be just balls bouncing off of people's face masks and hands, and it's just gonna be hard. It's gonna be hard.
If you look at it from a different point of view, it could be fun. It's like a bunch of guys who won't get to play again, or maybe one more game, and they'll get to play football because they love it. Could be score after score after score. It'll be 48-45.
You know what usually happens in these games? It's like, it's all right. And then someone gets like horrifically injured and like the ambulance comes out on the field and you're just like, why are we playing
five
games? No, I mean on the Rams, not one of our players. No, certainly not. Maybe a tight end. It might be Merle Stevens.
You are going to feel so bad if something happens to him.
You could bookmark this and... In next week's show, you can be like, Jess, you did it. You jinxed this poor guy. He's never going to walk again.
You double jinxed it. You're fine.
Okay. All right. Are we ready for a mystery question?
Let's do it.
What is your favorite Rams-Denver Broncos matchup? That's terrible. That's like the worst.
Last year.
We played last year?
Yeah. Remember, we played really well. Our defense, our offense was terrible. We only lost by 3.
Because there was a game when I was a kid. It was the Rams and the Broncos, and Jim Everett was the QB. 1988, November 27th, and the Broncos won 35-24, and it was awesome. So,
so there you go.
Jim Everett, though, he was like scorching the Broncos defense. I only remember because... I was angry because he kept getting first downs, kept completing balls. He went 25 for 47, 365 yards, 2 touchdowns, an interception. But old Elway was like, 21 for 36, 271, 3 touchdowns, an interception. And Tony Dorsett had 1 completion in that game for 7 yards and a touchdown pass with a 135.4 passer rating, the greatest performance of a Broncos quarterback in history.
But there was a game in 2001, 2000 or in 2 maybe, maybe 2003. Leonard Little, I believe was his name. He played for the Rams. I recall him just destroying us like single-handedly. I remember that we lost and I was really upset. Leonard Little. I was at Big Wang Sporks Bar in beautiful Hollywood, California. Well, this is a terrible mystery question, and I apologize. I clearly put all my effort into
the poem.
Into the poem at the beginning. So I'm just going to rest on my laurels. I'm just going to, rather than give you mine, I'm just going to read it again. Lovely to look at, nice to hold. If there's a penalty, it's like Leon Bowles.
Still funny. Holy crap. So Henry Ellard had 11 catches for 167 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Broncos that day. Mark Jackson was 6 for 140 and 2 touchdowns. Man, he,
and a buck 40. Wow.
There's this great picture that was my wallpaper for a while, actually, like a long time ago, that was, it's like sunset at Mile High and we were playing the Rams and it was the Broncos in their old orange uniform. So it must have been, if not that game, somewhere around that, because it's like, how often did we play the Rams back then? Like, not often, I'm sure.
Well, last year in our game that we lost by 3 points, Emmanuel Sanders had 115 yards.
Completely blocked that game from my memory. I don't know why.
It was probably Demaryius Thomas' last game because it was like our seventh game. Wasn't he gone by week 8?
Yeah, we were down like 20-0 or something, and then we scored like 20-3, and we scored like 2 touchdowns in the final 5 minutes, and it was like, oh look, we almost beat them after being dominated by them for like 3.5 quarters.
Keenum threw 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. He probably threw that interception at the end. I don't remember.
Threw a touchdown at the end with 1.5 minutes left to Demaryius Thomas.
He was always a good closer.
He was only a good closer when he was down by multiple scores. God, I hate him.
Sorry. Who do you hate more?
Simeon or Keenum?
Or Bowles.
I hate them all. He did throw an interception in the fourth quarter, but then he came out and scored a touchdown, a field goal, and a touchdown. Final quarter and a half, he scored 17 points. Before that, he was bad. It's 2019, damn it.
All right. So you have been listening to Something Something Broncos. I am Tim Lynch. Lori Lattimore-Volkman and Jess Place have joined us today. It was a lot of fun. I just want to read my poem again one more time. Lovely to look at, nice to hold. If it's a penalty,
probably on Bowles.
So there you go. Thank you for listening. Be sure to rank and rate and subscribe to Mile High Report podcast. We've got a whole bevy of talent now bringing you content every day of the week. Be sure to subscribe and, leave a review and say that you like Something Something Broncos more than any of those other shows. Because that feels really good. I am Lori Lattimore-Volkman with Tim Lynch at Best Place. Thank you for listening to Something Something Broncos.
Yay!
I only did the yay this time because you made a point.
You should do it.
Yeah, I was.
You got to jump on me.
A correction on the reporting of the foul. Both teams were on the. Both up. Both fouls were on the kicking team.
Since editing took place, there's stuff scratched out. Like, there was some thought that went into this, so.
Those are perfect.
Calling Olsen.
Yeah.
Mortman Olsen.
Anyway.
The tight end room for the Denver Broncos. Come in, Olsen.
Well, he won't.
No one watched Mork and Mindy?
Jeff tells jokes, I laugh, and you actually talk about football.
Lori carries us both.
Yes, that is true.
You've been listening to Something Something Broncos, a feature of MileHighReport.com with Lori Lattimore-Volk, Jess Place, and Tim Lynch. Get involved in the conversation at MileHighReport.com. Can I just have them come down here really quick and then that'll be it? Okay, here you go. Have a seat. You gotta put these on so you can hear everybody.
Hi.
This is Patrick.
Hi, Patrick.
Hello, Patrick.
Hi.
Oh, let me get the camera on there. Okay, so they're gonna ask you questions and you answer it, okay?
All right.
Best you can. Be your loquacious self.
Who is your favorite Broncos player?
John Elway.
Oh.
Good call.
Man, this guy's a legend already.
Do you have a favorite game that you've ever watched?
Yes.
Which one?
Fortnite.
Oh. Yes. Awesome. I meant, do you have a favorite Broncos game that you remember watching? Like a playoff game or a Super Bowl?
No.
You just like them all?
Yeah.
Right on. John Elway is a pretty good team builder, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Tell them about Von Miller.
My friends do not know anything about Von Miller.
All right, are you ready for Fletcher?
I'm not scared.
You don't have to be scared.
Nice to meet you, Patrick.
You're welcome.
Okay, here we go. All right, Pat, Fletch, just have a seat, and they're just going to ask you a couple questions.
Who's your favorite Broncos player?
John Elway.
Oh,
you too. Nice.
Man.
Do you know anything about the player you're named after?
No. But I know our cat who is named after.
Who's your cat named
Who's your
after?
Cat named?
Who do we name our cat after?
Caffers.
Oh, McCaffrey?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So, Caffrey. I don't know what to say. Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, okay. Do you know what position he plays?
No.
He's a running back. Do you know what team he plays on?
The Broncos.
We wish. We wish.
We do wish.
Ask him about the Patriots.
I don't know about the Patriots that much.
Good.
They're cheaters.
Keep it that way.
They cheat. That's all you need to know.
But all I know about one thing about the Patriots, the Denver Broncos tripped over one team and it scored.
Did you know the Patriots can never beat the Broncos when the Broncos are at home in the playoffs?
No.
Yeah, the Broncos dominate them and go on to win Super Bowls when that happens.
Yeah, the good old days.
Thank you guys.
They're cute. They don't have quite your loquacious talking ability, though.
I know. Well, that's the problem when your dad is a rambling buffoon, is that they learn to be quiet. So.